everyone. Thanks so much for joining me. This is the Codependent Perfectionist Podcast, and I'm Alana Carvalho. And it's been a little bit since I've put out an episode, so I'm so glad to be back. I've had such a busy couple of months. And today I'm going to talk about a post that was on Instagram that someone had requested that I speak a little bit more about, and I felt like that might be a great thing to do. So the post says, remember that people love to their level of self-love, communicate to their level of self-awareness, and behave to their level of healed trauma. I think this is a really great reminder. It's something that I talk about often with my clients because I find that we tend to have really unrealistic expectations of the people around us. And what I mean by that is I've gone through this so much myself and have to remind myself all the time about my expectations about other people, that we can't expect that someone can give love to us or communicate with us or behave in a way that their level of awareness isn't caught up to, right? So, and just to give a little caveat, because some people might be thinking, well, does that mean that I just have to accept it? And is that enabling? And the reality is that that doesn't mean that you have to accept it. That doesn't mean that you're just saying, okay, well, then that's fine and I can't do anything about it. You know, we still have to be mindful about putting boundaries in place and, you know, protecting ourselves from people who are very unhealed in their trauma. And that's really important because we don't want to feel like we're just a victim of circumstance or a victim of where the people in our lives are at any given moment. But we want to remember that we can't ask someone necessarily to be there or show up in a way that they're not yet ready to do. You know, like, a lot of times I find, particularly when I'm doing couples work, you know, one partner wants their partner to love them in a particular way, or, you know, be there for them in a way that the partner may just be unable to do. And again, that doesn't mean that we have to just say, okay, but we have to be realistic about what the other person is capable of giving us. And I think a big part of this has to do with personalizing, because oftentimes I find, as a codependent myself, that it's easy to personalize other people's behavior and what they do and make it about me, right? And in our own worlds, in our own heads, everything is about us, of course, right? So we assume that the way somebody is acting or the way that they're loving us is about us rather than being about them. And to me, when we can start to realize that how people are in life is so much less about us and so much more about them, it changes our experience of a situation. And oftentimes we may move from some really negative feelings like anger and sadness and frustration to a place of having maybe even more empathy for the other person in the fact that they're very limited, or the reason that they're acting a particular way has to do with the fact that they don't really know another way to do it and they haven't learned it. And again, everyone has the opportunity to get help, to work on themselves, to self-reflect. So you don't just get off the hook. But if I can see that the way that you're behaving is not about me, but it's about you, I can start to become curious. And I can probably learn how to relate with you in a way that's very different from how I was before when I was thinking that everything that you're doing is a reflection of your feelings about me. And to me, this really helps connect with people in such a different way than we normally do. I find that we're normally so reactive as people. We tend to take so much on from those around us in our lives, and we don't tend to stop and just take a moment to kind of recenter ourselves and reground ourselves and keep remembering this concept that, you know, everyone's kind of doing things based on where they're at, not based on where I'm at. The thing is that I see it based on where I'm at. And that's the thing that I have to take responsibility for, right? So if I'm in a lot of judgment around someone's behavior, that has to do with me, right? Their behavior has to do with them. There's a big difference that, and this kind of becomes a little nuanced, that there's a big difference between judgment and maybe factually calling out somebody's behavior. And when we're in judgment of someone else's behavior, usually we're having some type of emotional response to it. And again, oftentimes it may be like a personalization, or you find that there's a lot of opinion included in it. When I'm making a factual statement about somebody's behavior, that's very different because there's no emotion tied to it, right? So I could say something like, oh, wow, that person really has some serious narcissistic tendencies. I can also then make up a story about that and be in judgment about the person being a narcissist. And that becomes very different because that's when we become emotionally reactive to the other person. I will say that I have to remind my clients that it's much easier for us to be non-reactive to people that we don't spend as much time with than people that we do. So I would just remember that, you know, if you're thinking about someone right now that you are very reactive to in judgment of, or you're personalizing their behavior, that it's much more difficult to do it when you're in constant contact, whether it's that they're your partner, or like, you know, a family member that you spend a lot of time with. That makes it much more difficult, of course, to be separate emotionally from the other person. And, you know, you may also be asking, clients ask me sometimes, well, how do I know when it is me, right? How do I know when it's time to look at myself rather than just see it as being about the other person? And an old coworker of mine had this phrase that he used to use that I loved. And he said, when one person tells you you have a tail, you can keep walking. But when two people tell you you have a tail, you have to turn around and look. And I love that saying. It always makes me laugh because, you know, I think that when we find ourselves getting feedback from people or being in a pattern where we see ourselves doing something repeatedly in reaction to someone else or other people in our life, that's our stuff to look at, right? It's our stuff to look at the patterns that are coming up. It's our stuff to look at the way that we're reacting to things. Again, that's always about us. And it doesn't mean that you need to take responsibility. And again, don't try not to overgeneralize this. If you're thinking about a situation where someone is particularly abusive, in those situations, we generally just need to get out of those situations, right? I'm talking about our everyday relating with other people and how we tend to see things and how we view things, often from a place that has to do with ourselves rather than our curiosity about, I wonder what that means about them that they said this comment, right? Not why would they say that comment to me? It's like, take that step back and try to see what the other person, what that may be about for them. Right? It's not about you. It's about them. That is super important work in your therapeutic work. If you're trying to learn how to depersonalize, you want to keep reminding yourself and check in with yourself and really try to push yourself to see things from a different perspective than you're used to seeing things from. So I hope that's been helpful and gives some perspective on that post. And if you guys have any more questions, as always, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram, The Codependent Perfectionist, or my website, thecodependentperfectionist.com. And I'm always happy to answer questions or keep the conversation going. Thank you so much.